right. Well, let's go ahead and get started. And so we do want to welcome you out tonight. Thank you so much for being here. And excited again to dive back into the Gospel of Matthew with you guys. Couple announcements to get started, and we shared this morning. We have our Word of Life Carnival coming up at the beginning of September to kick off the school year, so be thinking about that. Word of Life registration is going on, so you can register starting last week, so definitely make sure you do that. We've had quite a few people turn in scholarship stuff to help kids and families. Huge praise there. And then also, Sandra had mentioned this morning the need for some small group leaders, subs, and a game leader. Such a cool move of the Lord. Before we left today, we have a game leader. We have two subs for sure. Two that talked to her, and one said, oh, so-and-so wants to do it too. So, but two confirmed, and then one small group leader or two? Okay, so we have two small group leaders that said they would help, two subs, so praise the Lord for that. But we would love to have maybe one more small group leader. Sorry? Oh, she's getting greedy now. Oh, yes, yeah. Yep. So, one thing that we always love to see is obviously, yep. So we do have a couple guys. The game leader is a man that's going to be helping. We have Caleb Hill, who serves on Wednesday nights. He does a great job as well. Many of you know Phil Garten was actually did a great job helping with the Olympians and the boys and stuff, but obviously they moved. But it is something about having men serving as well, especially for small groups. Not saying that women can't or that, you know, whatever. Of course they can. But to have a male small group leader with the boys is just really a great fit, obviously, so they feel more comfortable there. But again, whatever the Lord leads, we would love to have, just in general, more men serving in the children's ministry. That's always a good thing. I know it seems like the last, 20-some years, I feel like it just like the stereotype that children's ministry is always women. I don't know why that seems to be, but it doesn't have to be that way, obviously. We would love to have men leading our children's ministry, especially our young men, seeing a mature follower of Christ and a man leading them. So if the Lord leads that way, we would love to talk to you more about that. Again, Wednesday night, small group leaders, we're looking for a couple things. We're looking for consistency during the school year. It is a school year commitment. We're talking September through April. Okay, so we're talking a lot of the year, obviously. And then also, we are encouraging anyone who's serving in Wednesday night to plug into another service. We really want you to grow as well. So we don't really want you coming on Wednesday night, serving, and then missing other services, because that's only going to hinder your growth. And then also, we do background check all of our children's ministry workers, and so that would be part of the process as well. But I just wanted to share as a praise that when we were talking, her list was kind of a little lengthy, and she was like, wow, I'm kind of asking for a lot. And then, man, before we left, God was just answering those needs. And so praise the Lord for that. And these are some people that are new to the Word of Life ministry. They're just a huge praise. So, also, just a reminder, we do have the North Goodland Moms Group. They're meeting at Goodall's Park and Splash Pad on August 14th. So don't miss out on that. If you are a part of that group or would like to be, you can sign up at the Welcome Center on their little informational page or find them on Facebook. And then also, just a reminder, next Sunday, August 10th, we will have communion in our morning service. So don't miss out on that. We're excited to celebrate the Lord's Supper together with that. Ladies' t-shirts, they can sign up as of now, right? Yep. There is a sign-up sheet out there for the Ladies Retreat t-shirts if you'd like to sign up for that, if you're planning on going. And then also, there's an informational meeting on the 24th after the morning service that'll answer all of your questions about the Ladies Retreat. Operation Christmas Child item of the month for August is kind of the big item, the toy item, the kind of the, what do you want to call it, the eye-catching, the wow item, that's it. So if you go on our app, you're going to see on our calendar of events, there is something that talks about Operation Christmas Child. There's a link right there. That link will take you to the Amazon storefront that talks about all the different toys and items that you can select from that are Operation Christmas Child approved. In the bulletin, there was that list of stuff. Please pay attention to the things that are not allowed. We really want to be careful with that. And then there's also a list on the box. Primarily, if you're thinking about items to put in there, nothing war-related, guns, any of that kind of stuff, obviously, because these are going to cultures and people groups all over the world. And so, as I said Wednesday night, for us, like, our kids grew up with Nerf guns, and that was never a big thing. It was always a fun thing to do. In other cultures, that's not going to be as positive, right, to kind of enforce those things. And so, again, just pay attention to that list and be sure you're aware of those things, all right? But I'm so thankful, man, that box was filled, overflowing after last month. And so we were able to empty that out. There's even some more stuff in there this morning now. So huge praise on that, to see that continue to collect. So we will have a packing party sometime in the fall. We'll let you know when that is. And then also, we will still do these. The Word of Life kids will do it on a Wednesday night. And then anyone else, there'll be a Saturday, probably a Saturday, where we'll invite the whole church to come out and do a packing party. All right? So excited about that. So that's all the upcoming events, activities, all those kind of things. Any questions about anything upcoming? Lynn? You're throwing that out early. So usually, yes, any adults who come to on the kickoff carnival night, our Wednesday night adult group usually meets in here. The last so many years, what we do is any adults who come, we go serve the carnival games. So we take care of the games and the activities so the Word of Life leaders can interact with the kids and the families and all that stuff. The last couple of years, we've had a great turnout with that. So we've done like a rotation where maybe we'll have some adults that aren't needed right away but want to relieve someone who's been bending over and picking up cans and ping pong balls and Nerf darts for 25 minutes. And we'll also have some outside stuff. So last year we had to move some things outside because just the number of kids was way too crazy. So it did help to have some outside stuff going on. So we'll need some people out there as well. So yes, if you're here on the Wednesday night for the adult service, we don't have service. We go serve and we plug you in and do some things. And if you're not needed right away, I'm sure we'll find a spot for you sooner or later. Okay? So thank you, Lynn, for bringing that up. Yes, Sandra. Yeah, she's saying that because she's married to me. So she's like, she knows, she'll send me this stuff on Facebook, these like Pinterest things. Like, look what I made with two pallets. And, you know, it's like this beautiful garden greenhouse thing. And she'll send it to me. And I'm like, who do you think you married? Like, you didn't marry this guy. Like, this is the guy who.
Because I am not handy.
Right, yeah. I appreciate that little grace right there. That was nice. But no, yeah, if you are really handy and you love to kind of work on things like that and you want to help put some things together, do you guys know when you're going to be putting stuff together for Carnival? Is it going to be like the Tuesday before, most likely? Usually it's like a day or two before.
Yeah, it'll probably be the day before that we set everything up.
Yep.
Because of Labor Day weekend, kind of, I don't want to like take
that
away from people.
Yep. So usually the Tuesday before the Carnival, that Tuesday night, we usually come up to the church in the evening, late afternoon, evening, and kind of start putting stuff together, tables and games and all that stuff.
There's two activities or two, like, booths, I guess you could say, that I was thinking of. One, I think Kaylin and Layla might do.
Okay.
See if she remembers. The other one is kind of easy. It's just like a, like, I think it's, what's that, where you have the sticks and the balls?
Plunko? No. Not Plunko. The stick and the, yeah.
I just don't have enough time in my life to do all of it, so I would love some.
You're talking about like the giant cylinder thing and the sticks are in the middle and the balls are on top and you pull them out and the marbles fall through?
Yeah.
Yeah. If I had candy, I'd give you a piece of candy or something. I don't have anything. So, all right, yeah. So if you're interested in helping with any of that, please see Sandra. It goes a lot quicker the more hands we have helping with that, for sure. So, all right. Well, she'll just have Terry do it, right? Just be like, Terry, work on that. Yeah, he's like, I got that. I'm good.
The other one is like a ski ball.
Oh, ski ball. Okay.
Partially by the end part, and we just need the aisle part.
Yeah. Okay. Ski ball. Yeah. So, all right. Well, if you're interested in helping with that, and that didn't terrify you to volunteer for, come see Sandra. She'd love to talk to you more about that. All right. I know. No pressure. But if Jesus calls, you know. All right. Well, let's go ahead and open in prayer, guys. And then we will get into Matthew. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the opportunity to gather and to worship you. And Father, we do thank you for today, a day that we can just celebrate Christ and all that you are for us and all that you are as our Lord and Savior, as the one who is merciful and gracious to us. And Father, we exalt the name of Christ this evening. Lord, we pray that you would just be glorified in all that is said and done. Lord, as we exalt you and we lift you up, we pray that our minds and our hearts would be drawn to a deeper affection, a deeper devotion to you. Stir within us that love, that desire, that hunger for the things of Christ. Lord, as we said this morning, we can easily fall into the trap of apathy and an indifference to the things of Christ. Lord, I don't know if that's just our human nature. I don't know if it's our culture, Lord, but it seems like we can just very easily drift into kind of a whatever attitude with you and the things of Christ. Maybe it's because the Bibles in our country are so readily available because churches are everywhere. Gathering seems to be very easy, Lord. So it's easy to put things off. It's easy to delay and just assume it'll always be there. But I pray, Lord, that we would take advantage of this evening, that we would engage your word, that we would engage you, Holy Spirit, that you would stir within us all that needs to be moved among us, whether it be being stirred to a decision we need to make or stirred in conviction unto repentance, whatever it is, Lord, that we would just be just students of your word tonight, hungry and desiring to hear from you and all that you have for us. And Father, again, thank you for all that you do, all that you have done. And again, Lord, be glorified in all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we are in the last week, prayerfully, of Matthew chapter 5, really through verse 11. So the handout for tonight is actually from two Sunday nights ago. So if you were here two Sunday nights ago or the last Sunday night, you already have one. I do have some extras. So if there's anybody that was not here and needs one, I can get you a couple here. Anyone else not here last? Can you pass that back to Steve, please? Anyone else need one? All right. Anyone else? Did you need one? Yeah, there you go. That's all right. It's okay. Anyone? Oh. Pass that on down, I guess. There you go. There you go. Yes. Yep. The handout is the Beatitudes. So it's that first, like, 11 verses. Or no, I'm sorry, 13. Right? 12 verses. First 12 verses of Matthew 5. So 2 weeks ago, we started going through Matthew 5. We've been in Matthew now for a few weeks. And we are going through, we started Matthew 5 2 weeks ago, started looking at the Beatitudes. I went through the first couple. Pastor Greg took us through a handful of them last week. And so we find ourselves on the eighth Beatitude, the eighth Beatitude. But to begin, I'd love to go ahead and read through that portion of Scripture again, just to kind of get all of us on the same page. And so Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 1. And so down through verse 12. And so if I can get a couple volunteers that would like to read, I'd appreciate that. We're going to do the first six verses. So Matthew 5, 1 through 6. Who'd like to read that for us? Terry, thank you. And then 7 through 12. 7 through 12. Who'd like to read that? Lonnie, thank you, sir. All right, Terry, whenever you're ready. Awesome. Thank you, guys. And so here we have in Matthew chapter 5, the beginning of what sermon? What is the sermon called? The Sermon on the Mount. And as it says in your handout there, I believe it was the Moody commentary. I have to go back and double check that. Is that what it says? Yeah, that the Sermon on the Mount is probably the most famous of all the teachings of Christ. It goes from Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, all the way through the end of chapter 7. And we see this because Jesus talks about in chapter 5, verse 1, he went up into a mountain. And then at the end of chapter 7, it says he came down from that mountain. And the people, what was their response to this sermon? How did the people respond? It tells us at the end of 7, beginning of 8, how did the people respond? They were astonished. Right? They were in awe. And why were they in awe? They were in awe and astonished at his teaching. What was different about the way Christ taught and the way other rabbis or teachers taught? What were they? They were used to this kind of teaching, but Jesus taught in a whole new way. What was the difference in Jesus' teaching? Yeah. Yeah. How did the scribes and the rabbis, how did they teach? They quoted other people. Right? They would say, it's like Rabbi so-and-so says. It's no different than when I quote different theologians or commentaries. And one of the reasons I love doing that is because I want you guys to hear what those who honestly and quite obviously know so much more about Scripture than I do. And I want to reference those individuals that have literally pored over Scripture their entire lives and have written beautiful works that we can glean wisdom from them. And so I'm referencing those individuals because in some areas they're a greater authority maybe in that understanding of that doctrine. Jesus doesn't teach that way. Jesus references himself as the authority. Why? Because it's his word. He spoke this word. And so when he's teaching these things, especially about the law, and we're going to get into chapter 5 next week where he talks about, you've heard it said, this is what the law says, but I say this. Sometimes when he says, you've heard it said, he doesn't change the whole law, but he gives the spirit of the law, right? You've heard it said, hate your enemies. Now, that necessarily doesn't mean from Scripture. That could just be you've heard this taught. But I'm telling you, love your enemies. So Jesus could take the law, the word of God that he spoke, right, as the Godhead, and give the deeper, fuller meaning of that. He doesn't have to cite anyone or quote anyone. He doesn't have to say, you've heard Moses say, and Moses was, he says, no, this is what you've heard in the law of Moses, and I tell you this. He's an authority. He's speaking on behalf of God. And so here, this Sermon on the Mount, He speaks with authority, with conviction, with power. And so as he begins this sermon, it's one of the most famous sermons of Christ, but it's also one of the most misunderstood, maybe even misapplied messages of Christ. Because we referenced this in the first week. When you read through this sermon, many people approach this sermon with different ideas of application. Some think, well, this sermon is meant to be how you gain salvation. If I live these things and do these things and follow these things, then I'll be saved. Some people teach this isn't even for us. This has no application to the church whatsoever. This is dealing with the future kingdom of Christ and that this is how it'll be in that kingdom. And we're just getting a foretaste of what it's going to be like there. But I would suggest that, as we said this before, the key to understanding the Sermon on the Mount is found in chapter 5, verse 20. For I say unto you, verse 20, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. I believe the Sermon on the Mount is kind of has a couple purposes. One, it's to show us that we have no righteousness of our own. Because if the Pharisees are the standard of righteousness in the people's eyes, and Jesus says, those Pharisees, their righteousness isn't even good enough to get into the kingdom of heaven. You have to be greater than that. Well, then instantly the people realize we have no hope. Because we can't be better than that. If that's the standard that we see as pretty righteous and they're not getting in, what hope is there for us? So who is the hope? Who is the one that we find our righteousness in? It's in Christ. Who we'll find out fulfilled the law. He did everything that he talks about here that we should be doing as citizens of the kingdom. He did that. He fulfilled the law. But I think also as followers of Christ, another purpose in this law or in this sermon is to understand how to live our lives as followers of Christ. We should be striving to live this way, to honor Christ, to please the Lord, to be that example. And so I think a lot of this is Christ has done this for you. Your righteousness in Christ is sealed. It's done and it's satisfying to the Lord. But also you can strive to live this way. You can strive to honor the Lord by living these things. And so there's a lot in here. But the basic application is our righteousness is not sufficient. We need Christ. We cannot gain heaven on our own. And also Jesus says in John chapter 14, how do we have entrance to the Father's kingdom? How do we have the ability to go before the Father? No one can go to the Father but by me, Jesus said, right? So again, that's the righteousness we need that's greater than the righteousness of the Pharisees. Again, remember, Jesus isn't saying the Pharisees are the standard. Jesus is saying, you guys think the Pharisees are the standard. Let me show you that they're still falling short. And why is it that the Pharisees aren't good enough in all their religion and all of their good doing? By the way, even the Pharisees that really do mean it, why is it that their own righteousness is still falling short? Because it's in Christ. It's always in Christ. And so here we see these Beatitudes open up the sermon. He's teaching his disciples. He's teaching the multitudes. And you guys went through a lot of these already. We're going to start on the 8th. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So number 8 in your notes. These are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Again, remember that in the Beatitudes, we have kind of an admonition to say that this is what they're like. This is what's going on. Poor in the spirit, those that mourn, this is the situation you're in. And here's the benefit, the blessing, the promise, the encouragement, however you want to word that. That if you mourn, what's the blessing or the benefit? You will be comforted, right? If you're meek, you will inherit the earth. Okay? If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, what's the benefit or the blessing in that? You will be filled. Okay? So we see this kind of, this is what's going on, and this is what will come from that. This beatitude is kind of peculiar one to our ears. Those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is different to our ears, especially here in the West. Those that are persecuted for Christ are actually blessed or happy. Blessed are those, happy are those who are persecuted. That is not popular to say today in the church, in church culture. We live in a church culture in America today that preaches the exact opposite of that. That the lack of persecution is evidence of God's blessing or favor. There's so many pastors or self-proclaimed pastors and preachers and churches that preach, if you really have God's favor, God's blessing, then you won't see persecution. You'll only see blessing. You'll only see the positive things. An exact opposite of that is what Jesus says. No. If you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, understand that yours is the kingdom. You're a follower of Christ. The reason we are happy to be persecuted for righteousness' sake is because it connects us with Christ, who is the ultimate example of one suffering for only doing the right thing. Christ suffered only because he did the right thing all the time. We, on the other hand, even when we are persecuted for doing right, at some point, we did wrong. And for that, we deserve punishment. So let me unpack this a little bit. If I'm being persecuted for being a Christ follower or preaching the gospel, let's say at some point our country decides to pass laws and this is no longer allowed. Like there's somebody raids our church and arrests me. And this happens in countries all over the world, by the way. There are countries where just being a pastor, just preaching the word, you can be arrested. Your family can be charged and arrested. You can lose all of your property. Everything's seized by the government. You have no freedom of property or no values you can keep. They take everything just for preaching the word. So if that was to happen here and I'm being persecuted for righteousness' sake, you are being persecuted for righteousness' sake, we look at that and we say, okay, I'm suffering because I stood for Christ. But even in that suffering, if I really look at my life on there, it's not like I've lived this perfectly righteous life, always doing right, and then I'm suffering. Even when I suffer for doing the right thing, at some point I could go back and go, yeah, but I did wrong here and here and here, and I should have been punished for that. Does this make sense to you guys? Think of it this way. I remember one time when I was younger, we used to get spankings quite a bit when I was a child. Okay? I was a pretty good kid. I don't know why I got so many spankings, but it just seemed to happen a lot. I know, yeah, I feel like I just got targeted a lot by my other siblings. But anyway, just blamed all the time. But I remember there was one time we got in trouble for something, and I legitimately didn't do it. Did not do it. I was innocent. But my stepdad would not believe that I was innocent. And so I got a spanking, and my brother got a spanking. And then after the fact, I forget the details, but after the fact, it came out that I was actually innocent, believe it or not. Okay, I was free and clear. I didn't do anything wrong. And I remember I looked at my stepdad, and he said, oh, he's like, well, in this case, you were good and innocent, but I'm sure you did something else that I didn't know about, so that's spankings for that. And I thought, that's awesomely bad. Like, how do you do that? Like, how do you give me a spanking saying I was in the wrong and I wasn't, but then go, yeah, but you probably did something that deserves a spanking that I didn't give you a spanking for. That's kind of what I'm thinking about here when I was reading through this. Even when we suffer for righteousness' sake, at some point in our lives, we did something that deserves punishment. And maybe we didn't suffer in that regard. In Christ's example, he never did anything wrong that ever deserved punishment. He never once sinned in any way, shape, or form. I love what R.C. Sproul says when he's asked about why do bad things happen to good people. I love what he says. He said, well, the truth is that only happened once, and he volunteered for it. You see, when bad things happen to good people, we're wrong in assuming they're good people because there is no such thing as a good person. We've all fallen short. We've all sinned. We've all broken God's law. There's no such thing as a good person if we're really being honest from Scripture. The only one that was truly good in all ways, at all times, and pleased the Father in everything was Christ. Sinless life. Sinless life. Not sinless for a little while. Sinless his entire life. And he volunteered to take the punishment for sin that we deserve. And so when we're being persecuted for righteousness' sake, meaning for the things of Christ, we actually see that as a blessing. We're happy to experience that, which again is foreign to our ears, but it connects us with Christ. I mentioned it this morning. How did the apostles respond to the threat of persecution, to the actual persecution? They rejoiced. They went to church and had a worship service because they just got beaten and threatened to be killed for Christ. And the church rejoiced with them. I mean, could you imagine that? I feel like we in America today, even the hint, just the hint of a threat of some level of violence against Christians or the threat of even possibly just they don't know what to do. We freak out, we panic, we run to our church and we go, we got to fix this because we don't want to go through that. And I think, man, but it's really odd that in America, we're some of the only few in the world that don't suffer persecution for Christ. And I'm not saying we should look for it or create it. I'm just saying if and when it comes, and it does come in different forms, in different places, at different times, but if and when it comes, we should not cower in our churches terrified. We should rejoice and worship even more so that we would get to be identified with our Savior who was crucified for us, who died for us, and we get to be a part of that. And people look at us and they think, man, you're just like your Savior. Like, look what they did to him, and they want to do that to you. Amen. Praise God. And so that's why I love this beatitude, that we actually see it as a blessing to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. The ninth one. Blessed are those who are reviled or spoken of falsely for Christ's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Do you guys see the theme here? If we're connecting with Christ and people are speaking falsely of us, we rejoice in that. Because again, it's connecting us to Jesus. Another translation says it this way. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. When people insult us for being followers of Christ. If you believe the Bible is literally the word of God, they'll insult you. You're foolish. You're ignorant. If you believe that God actually created everything in six literal days, what a fool you are. They'll mock you and they'll ridicule you and they'll call you names. You believe that Jesus is actually the Son of God? What a fool. But I love what Paul says. If in the world's eyes I'm a fool for trusting in Christ, I'll be a fool all day. That's my paraphrase of what Paul says. Because the cross is foolishness to them. This phrase acknowledges the reality of social being ostracized socially and verbal attacks that Christians may face. The Greek word here used can also imply slander or reviling, which connects to the broader theme of enduring hardship for righteousness' sake. We have evidence of this mockery throughout early church history, and it's kind of amazing. There's an example of this in the world that we see all the way back in 200 AD. So just within that first 150 years or so of Christianity, we already start seeing these ideas of mockery. This one famous example is Alexamanos Graffitio. So this is graffiti that was put on a wall in plaster in the Roman Empire. And so this depiction of this drawing on a plaster wall depicts a young man worshiping a crucified donkey-headed figure. So it's a picture of a man being crucified, but the head of the man is a donkey, and then there's a young man standing at the foot of the cross worshiping. And this figure, it actually is written. So what's the mockery there? Think about that. Just as Jesus could make fun of and to ridicule anyone who would possibly worship someone that was crucified. What a fool you must be. This is in 200 AD. There's already public mockery of Christ followers. And this continues all the way through church history to today. This is not new. Now, it takes different forms. Maybe instead of drawing it on a wall, it's online. There's a TikTok now making fun of Christian beliefs, and they try to ridicule our beliefs. A lot of times, by the way, when you watch those videos, they're not actually making fun of Christianity. They're making fun of what they think Christianity is. They don't really understand even what it is. But needless to say, there's still this secular mockery of Christianity. As we live in a fallen world, and especially it is a fallen world until Christ redeems it, but as we live in this fallen world for Christ, we should expect our faith to be seen as foolish or absurd. It is foolish in their eyes to worship a Savior that wasn't powerful enough to avoid being crucified. Yet we know that our Savior displayed the greatest strength imaginable by remaining on the cross for our sins. We talked about this at our board meeting. I don't know if it was the last one of them before, but we were looking at some scripture. And you guys know the passage where the religious leaders are mocking Christ and they say, you know, he saved others, but he can't save himself. He said, if you're God, show us your God by coming down off that cross. And they wanted evidence that he was divine by his ability to free himself from the cross and free himself from the persecution. But as we talked with the guys on our board, the real evidence that Christ was God in the flesh, the Savior of the world, was that he chose to stay on the cross. And by staying on the cross, he actually validated who he really was. And so the strength that Christ displayed to stay on the cross showed definitively that he is the God-man who loves and came in grace to save his creation. And so again, this mockery, these insults that get hurled at us, don't be surprised. I think, and again, maybe in America, because, and praise God that Christianity is at the foundation of our country. The Bible is in the foundation of our country, and we see that. And it's great to pray that that would be restored, and it's great to use our civil freedoms and liberties to vote for individuals that will restore those things and get us back to those foundations. That's all good. But I think because Christianity is so instrumental in the founding of our country, in the beginning of our country, and really for a long time, Christianity wasn't officially the religion of our country, of course, there's no such thing, but it was really a predominant belief in our country. I mean, a lot of people, you guys, many of you that are older, you grew up, everybody went to church. Now, they may not be believers. They may not really been converted, but they went to church, right? It's Sunday, you go to church. Our culture respected that as a day of worship. Bars wouldn't open until later. Places wouldn't sell alcohol at all on Sundays, and then it was afternoon, and now it's 24/7. And so you see this slow drifting away. But I think because Christianity was so integral in our country's development and for so long, it was just a part of our culture, that as that slipped away now from our culture, that now our culture has moved, I don't know, last 60 years or so, maybe a little more, away from that foundation, all of a sudden now it's not really convenient to be a Christian in America. It's not comfortable. It's actually kind of anti-culture. It's right. It's radical in our culture to be a believer in Christ. And so because that's happened, now Christians are kind of shocked. Like, whoa, 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 what's going on? Why are we being attacked now? And I can only imagine our brothers and sisters overseas. And they hear what we're going through, and they probably just scratch their heads and say, I would love if that's the only persecution I face today, was being called a name. Now, let's be fair. I say that. We know that Christians are being persecuted in our country, okay? I'm not trying to minimize that. But the reality is, we shouldn't be surprised by that. Jesus said, when this happens, and it will, and by the way, it happened to the disciples, it happens to all Christians to some degree, don't see it as a negative, but rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Now note here, it does say very clearly, in verse 11. Why are we being persecuted? Why are they talking about us? Why are they insulting us? Because of his sake. This means if we do things that are sinful, wrong, if we commit acts that are outside of God's will, if we're doing things that God isn't pleased with, and that brings persecution, that's not what he's talking about. That's just what you sow, you reap. So this is not saying if I do wrong and I'm being held accountable for that wrongdoing, that's not this. This is I'm living for Christ and I'm honoring him, and just as followers of Christ, we're enduring these insults and these persecutions and being accused falsely, right? But again, I will echo this. I love what, I just lost the name of it, famous writing, Pilgrim's Progress. There you go, Pilgrim's Progress. And the character in Pilgrim's Progress is having a conversation with the adversary, with Satan, right? And Satan's trying to throw all these sins at him and all these accusations at him. And what does he acknowledge? Yep, I've done all of that and more. And yet this is the grace of God that's forgiven me. And so again, we acknowledge that when people say things against us, we can say, yeah, I have sinned. I am a sinner. I do need grace. And that's why God can save you as well. So it's not saying that we deny that we need grace or that we deny that we've sinned. It's merely saying they're falsely accusing us like they falsely accused Christ, right? And many other believers. So we see these beatitudes. Let's move to verse 12. And then we'll wrap up with some prayer because we'll have a little bit of time for that. So verse 12, letter B in your notes. Rejoicing and glad are they, right? Rejoicing and glad are they, these that are blessed, these that are happy. Why are they rejoicing and glad? Well, the Greek words used here for the idea of rejoice and be glad suggests an exuberant and triumphant joy. Very different than the world's response to persecution. Why is that? Because for great is your reward in heaven. So the first reason we rejoice in all these things is because great is your reward in heaven. This is our focus. Our focus is eternity. Our focus is heaven bound. We are not concerned if we gain rewards here on earth. Our gaze is fixed on his kingdom. We are not citizens of this kingdom. We are not consumed with this kingdom. We are longing for heaven. Great is our reward in heaven. Do you see how many times he says, yours is the kingdom of heaven. You are a citizen of heaven. So we rejoice because this world is not all there is. That means the persecutions you face, the trials you face, the opposition we face is temporary compared to eternity. And we rejoice in that. So not only for great is your reward in heaven, but also for you are in good company. You are in good company. The prophets of old were treated the same. And he says that there. Verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. This is not new. This is a Genesis 3 problem. Sin entered in, humanity fell, and ever since that moment, God's been calling to humanity to be redeemed. And when God sent his prophets to preach the message of repentance and redemption, which it's the same message, by the way, right? It's the same message that John the Baptist preached, that Jesus preached. Repent and turn back to God. What did he tell the Israelites? Repent and turn back to God. And every time these prophets would come, some were received well, but many were just killed because the people didn't want their sin pointed out. The people didn't want to be told that they are not in charge and that God is actually the authority. So we are in good company when we are persecuted for Christ's sake. Believers today are placed in a long line of God's faithful servants. This reaffirms that persecution, again, for doing good, is not a sign of God's displeasure, but rather a mark of fidelity to his mission. When we see persecution come in our lives, we always think, well, God's mad at me. God's upset. I did something wrong. No, no, no. If you're living for Christ and there's opposition, then that's actually a mark that you're living for Christ. That's an encouragement. That's a good thing. The apostles expressed the same rejoicing following their times of persecution for Christ, again, seen in Acts 5:41. So as we conclude this portion of the Sermon on the Mount, and I jokingly say that because I remember telling Greg that I thought this would be a one, maybe 2 week sermon to go through this first part. I'm kind of excited to see how long it takes us to get through the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. It's going to be fun. But as we conclude this portion of the Sermon on the Mount, and we'll dive into the rest of it next week, I want to reflect over the key point in the Beatitudes, that we have an eternal home in the kingdom of heaven. This is not merited by our doing, but made possible because Christ fulfilled the law. Now, as children of God, we live in this way because heaven is our home. So we live as citizens of that kingdom, and we reflect that in our lives. Do we do it perfectly? Nope. That's why there's grace. And when we see ourselves stumbling or getting our minds on the wrong things, we cry out to him, and he gives us that insight, that ability to repent and turn back to him, and to refocus our minds and realize that if we're living for him, we are blessed. Happy are you, blessed are you if you go through these things. Why? Because he's going through it with us. There's a purpose and a plan in it. It's not haphazard chaos. It's not just hopeless tragedies for hopeless tragedy's sake. It is God's will being accomplished for his glory. And believe it or not, as hard as it is to believe, when we're in those situations, I know it's tough, but for our blessing too. And so I hope this is an encouragement to you guys. Again, we'll pick up in verse 13, and we'll try to move through the remainder of the chapter next week, Lord willing, but we'll work through it as the Lord leads. Because we didn't have worship this evening, I'd love to spend just a few moments taking some prayer requests, and then I'll close us in prayer in just a few moments.
Kevin's sister Jan had a stroke, so she's currently in the hospital.
Okay.
And so they were able to administer some blood thinners and things. So hopefully she won't have as many long term effects. But anyway, so just prayers for Jan.
For Jan, okay.
And then the same day, Dylan, Kevin's son, Kevin this past week, and he had a seizure while he was in the bathtub and almost drowned. Mm. So because of his, how he acts on that medication, they unfortunately just took him off it altogether, which I think is probably why he had that big seizure. But anyway, so whatever. So they're the doctors. Anyway, and then please pray for Kevin because we were already overwhelmed to begin with. And then,
all of that, yeah.
He's really struggling.
Okay. Amen. Yeah. Well, let's be praying for Kevin, for his sister Jan, for her health, and then for Dylan, Kevin's son, for wisdom for the doctors as they help him, and then also for his own well-being, get into the dentist and get that taken care of. And then just for Kevin as a whole to join back with us in worship and fellowship and all those good things. Yes. Oh, sure, yeah.
The initial agenda, but, you're allowing God to move without, having meltdown. Like, no, we got to get through all the edges, right?
Sure, yeah.
So that's good, that we can just have that luxury to kind of really get into it.
Sure, yep. No, it's absolutely true. I think we can all fall into that trap of just our own personal schedules and routines. And if we're not careful, sometimes while it's good to have a schedule, it's good to have a routine, it's good to have plans. We just need to be careful that, as I said this morning, we write it in pencil. Because if the Lord moves a different direction, we need to be ready to go. Absolutely. So thank you for that encouragement, for sure. Anyone else? A prayer request or praise? Lynn.
Josh is going to have a bunch more tests this week.
Okay.
He's having difficulty swallowing.
Okay. Okay, be praying for Lynn and Terry's son Josh, having difficulty swallowing, having some tests done this week. Be praying for wisdom, for healing, and all those things. Terry?
Pray for the Yaks family. There are neighbors. He passed away on Wednesday. As far as we know, he does not know the Lord. He did let us pray for him before he went into surgery.
Okay. Sure. Okay. And what was the family name again?
Yax.
Yax?
Yeah, Y-A-X.
Okay. The Yax family, Y-A-X, neighbor of Bob and Terry Raymond's. He went home to be with the Lord, or what? He passed away. We don't know of his salvation. We don't know if he was saved. It sounds like he was kind of a little bit more not open to talking about the gospel, but praise that Bob and Terry were able to pray with him before he went in for the surgery. And so praying the Lord did a work there. We have no idea what the Lord does in the hearts and minds of those who are in those moments. And so we just pray for that God worked there, but also for the family in the passing of this gentleman for sure. With that, if you guys could pray for, I was blessed to be able to do a funeral this last Tuesday. And so for a gentleman who, for them, they lost their mom about 15 months ago, and then their dad passed away maybe 2 weeks ago now. And so be praying for them. It's a lot to process. And if any of you have lost loved ones that close together, you know it does impact you. And so pray for them that we'd love to see them in worship with us. We'd love to see the Lord do a great work there. And so be praying for that as well. Jeff.
So she's got to do a stress test with the heart, but you know, just that they can get all that balanced out.
Okay.
Either find out what the root cause is or you know, balance out with medication.
Okay.
The other thing, too, is Thursday nights I'm on a golf league, and after golf, I'm sitting at the table, and we have a pastor that plays in our league, and one of the guys was, to your point about persecution, he's like, well, God's got
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it was mockery.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yep. Yeah, we can be strong in the Lord, absolutely. So be praying for Dawn, for her heart situation, her health overall with the blood pressure, that they'd be able to figure out the right balance for her to help with that, and that the Lord will just bring healing there. And then also for just Jeff, and what's the pastor's name again? Don. Okay, for them as they are on this golf league, that Lord will keep giving them opportunities like that to share Christ and to be bold for their faith. That's awesome that they had that opportunity for sure. Anyone else? Julie.
I know Shelley has shared it with multiple people. So she's got an upcoming cardiologist appointment.
Okay. Sure. Okay. Okay. Be praying for Shelley Shear, for her health, with need for some different things with her heart to be done. Pray for the insurance stuff to be squared away and just to be taken care of, and for the Lord to work in that. Continued prayer for her husband, Sean, as well, as he has various health concerns and those kind of things. It was great to see her this morning and everything. So I know it's kind of difficult sometimes if you're not feeling good to get out to church, but it was good to have her this morning. So I'll be praying for Shelley. Anyone else? Prayer requests or praise before we pray? Avi?
I just have one more, so we will praise. God has done something, like it's just a long story. I kind of shared it with you the other day. But just this thing where he's been able to, like through me, provide for all these like different little ministries. And I think it's so awesome. Like it's so awesome that God is providing physically.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's so cool. So I'm just so excited about it. Like, this opportunity just where he's like, here, you can have all this stuff for all these, like, ministries that glorify my name. I'm like, yeah.
Amen. I love that we see it that way too, right? We can see it as the Lord's doing that, absolutely, and using us as a vessel to be able to be blessings to those smaller ministries. But they're really not smaller ministries, but the Lord's doing a great work, and that's awesome. No, praise the Lord, absolutely. And when we see those opportunities, what a cool part that we get to be a part of that. So, yeah, absolutely.
It's kind of like, do you remember
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. Just when those opportunities come, absolutely. Yeah, it's so the Lord's work, absolutely. Anyone else, a prayer request or a praise before we pray? Yes, Stephanie. Okay. Okay. Okay, be praying for Lonnie as he heads to Ohio for the week. Safe travels and all of that. To watch over the family too while he's away. The Lord will just be with that. Pray for him as he goes to Ohio because, you know, it's Ohio, so... It's a wasteland down there, so we're praying for your brother as you go and do some missions work down there as well, to those heathens down there. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, be praying for him as he travels down there, absolutely, and watch over the family as he's away. Let's be praying for, I know we're like a little over, well, less than a month, really, from the official start of Word of Life. And so let's be praying for the Word of Life school year, as we always try to do. Pray for new families to come, kids to come. We want salvation for the kids, discipleship for the kids, that they would be growing in Christ this year. It doesn't matter how many kids come, but we're just praying whatever children do come that we're able to invest in them for Christ and to raise them up in Him. So be praying for our leaders, our small group leaders, obviously for Sandra and other teachers that are going to be teaching small group leaders as they instruct those kids and help those kids. So just pray for all of that if you would over the next, you know, this month or so. Let's be thinking about that, just bathing that in prayer. I really believe prayer is the engine that drives the church. And if we're praying as a church for God to do great things, I believe that He responds to that and He works in mighty ways. And then we are going to see that more prevalently if we're praying for it. Our hearts are going to be more open to it. He's doing the work. As Avi said, He's working, but sometimes we don't see it. And I think one of the things in prayer is that it kind of like opens our hearts and our minds to what He's doing. And then we can praise Him effectively for what He's doing. So let's be praying for those things. Local schools. Yep, all the local schools, public school, Christian school, homeschool families, co-ops, they're going to be starting up, just all those things that the Lord will just do a great work there. And we usually try to on a Wednesday night as we get closer to the school year, if it works out, we can. We try to spend some time just praying for those specific things. I try to give a little bit of a list of kind of some prompts that you can be praying for the school year. Administrators, Christian teachers in the public school, Christian students in the public school, all those kind of things. So praying the Lord will just do a great work there. And really send that revival we talked about this morning, right? Send revival to the individual, to the churches, and then to the community. So if there's no one else, we'll go ahead and close in prayer. Ooh, Kelly got me with this, the... She scratched, and I was like, Kelly, no, she's not. Okay. So, all right. Well, let's go ahead and pray, guys. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. And, Lord, we do want to just take this time and lift up these requests that have been laid before you. And, Father, we first and foremost acknowledge that the only situations is because of the blood of Christ. It's because of what you did for us through the gospel that we are invited into the very throne room of God. And we don't come boldly in our own strength, arrogant in our own merit. We come humbly as those who have received Christ and yet been given the invitation to come and to seek your face and to ask these things and to praise you for where you're working. And so, Lord, I pray that when we come in prayer, that we would take time to recognize the gift of prayer, that it's not our doing, that it is only through the blood of Christ and your resurrection that we have this opportunity to pray. So I pray that we recognize that, Lord, and just spend a moment reflecting over that. Father, as we acknowledge that and we come into your presence, we do bring these requests, Lord. We think about Kevin's sister, Jan. Lord, we just pray for healing, for wisdom for the doctors as they continue to work with her and her health concerns. Lord, we think of Dylan. We're so thankful that the seizure wasn't worse. Lord, he could have drowned in that bathtub, but we thank you, Lord, that you saw fit to spare him. And we do pray that you would just continue to give the doctors wisdom as they try to help him with these seizures. Lord, for his dental needs, we pray that you would just open a door of opportunity where that can be resolved quickly. Lord, we do pray for him as a whole. Lord, just bring an alleviation of pain. Just bring healing there, Lord, and ease of the difficulties that he's facing, Lord. For Kevin, I can't imagine the weight of trying to weigh all that on or to have that burden on his shoulders and to carry that on his shoulders. Lord, we pray for comfort. We pray for an ease with that. We pray you do a great work there, Lord. And we do pray, Lord, that he would know that we can all gather and worship And that, Lord, there's no judgment here. There's no condemnation. Lord, we're all together as the body of Christ needing to be encouraged and prayed for and strengthened and loved on. And Lord, anyone who walks through these doors, they may be walking with Christ now, but Lord, we've all stumbled. We've all fallen. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would encourage him in that, Lord, and that he would know that this is a place where he can feel welcome. And Lord, as he travels down to Ohio for this next week, we pray you'd give him safety on the roads and traveling mercies and be with him as he's working down there and doing the different things he's going to find himself doing. Lord, we pray that you'd be with the family as he's away. Just watch over them. Lord, protect them and strengthen them, Lord, through this week. And Lord, again, bring him home safely to them and to us, Lord, that you would just do a great work there. Father, we thank you, as was shared, for the praise of just, Lord, how you open doors of opportunity for us to see where we can get, whether it be financial opportunities to be able to help other ministries or items, physical items that we can donate that you made aware to us, Lord. We just thank you for how you, if we're looking for those opportunities, you'll give them to us. And we thank you, Lord, for the so many in our church that are such a blessing to the various ministries, whether it be giving just to an offering so that Grief Share can have books for their attenders, whether it be a Word of Life store, whether it be Operation Christmas Child. Lord, we think about the fall. We have Angel Tree coming up in the winter, and Lord, just different ministries that we get to be a part of, and how our church, Lord, it's just so awesome to see a church that's so passionate about being generous and about supporting our community and supporting our ministries. And Lord, we think about our missionaries that are serving all over the world, and that our church has been so generous to support their needs, Lord, whether it be just monthly support. We think about in June with the Pestels having a need for the schooling for their children that's going to cost a lot of money that they just don't have. And Lord, they didn't have to go to other churches. They didn't have to go down the list of try to find enough churches to support that need, that we were able to take care of that entire need for them, Lord, just again, because of your grace working through us. And so, Lord, we thank you that you give us those opportunities to make a difference for you. And Lord, again, not for our glory, but yours, that your fame would go forth. Father, we think of Josh Atwell. We pray for healing as he's having this issue with swallowing. Lord, give an ease in that, comfort him, give the doctors wisdom, be with Lynn and Terry, Lord, just comfort them as they're away from him right now. Just, Lord, again, just do a work there. Father, we think of Bob and Terry's neighbor, the Yaks family, Lord, that you would just be with them as this gentleman has passed away, Lord. And Lord, it seems as though he didn't know you. Well, we pray, Lord, first and foremost, that your Holy Spirit did a work in his heart and his mind before he breathed his last breath, that the encouragement and the testimony of Bob and Terry were able to be seeds that were planted, and that, Lord, we pray that at some point he made a decision to trust Christ. But Father, your will be done in all of that. And we pray for the family that's now left behind. We pray for comfort and guidance and strength for them, Lord. Just do a great work there. Father, we lift up the upcoming school year for Word of Life. Be with all the small group leaders and kids that are going to be involved in the program, the teachers, the volunteers. Lord, we pray for children to come to Christ this school year. We pray for kids to be discipled. We pray for kids to grow in Christ. We pray, Lord, for our small group leaders, teachers, and leaders, and volunteers to grow in Christ this year. Lord, that they would be encouraged in their faith. Father, we do pray for the upcoming school year for Christian teachers, administrators, those in public of educational outlets that we have in our Christian administrators, teachers, and students at the public schools, where, Lord, it is difficult to walk for Christ. As we talked about tonight, there's persecution at every level in those areas. And Lord, Christian students, especially as they get into high school, they're facing opposition from classmates, from teachers, Lord, from the culture. I just pray you'd strengthen them, that they would walk with Christ. Surround them with other believers. There are believers in those schools, Lord. Help them to connect with them and to be strengthened by them and to see you do great things. Lord, it only takes one student with a passion for Christ, willing to step up and step out, and revival can break out in a school. What a praise that would be to hear of students being saved in a local high school or elementary school because of one student's ability to just say, I'll speak out, I'll pray. And so, Lord, would you do a work there that we would glorify you? Father, we thank you for all that you're doing. We pray that you would be with all the various requests that have been shared. Lord, if I missed anything or forgot something, Lord, I just pray you'd work in a mighty way. Lord, give us a great rest of tonight. Bring us back on Wednesday, Lord, that we might continue to worship you and to lift up your name. And thank you for your word. Father, we do. I do thank you for how you're working through Jeff and Don's life, Lord. Thank you for giving that to me just now to remind me of that, Lord. I pray to be with them as they are in this golf league, that they would be a witness and a testimony to you and or for you, to their teammates and others they're playing with and against. Lord, just use them in a mighty way as your testimony, and be with Dawn, Lord. Bring healing to her heart. Strengthen her, Lord, and give the doctors wisdom. Father, again, in all these things, we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, well, thank you guys so much for coming out tonight. Feel free to hang around, chat, talk a little bit. Feel free to fellowship. And then we'll see you guys on Wednesday night.